Welcome to my home. Now, before I invite you in for a cup of tea and a piece of cake, which of course I'm going to do, I just want to read this to you from the Bible. I'm going to read it to you from the Message version, but perhaps after the service, you could go and read it in a different translation to see how it opens up. Luke chapter 9, verses 12 to 17. As the sun set, the 12 said, "Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the farms or villages around here and get a room for the night and a bite to eat. We're out in the middle of nowhere." "You feed them," Jesus said. They said, "Oh, we couldn't scrape up more than 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Unless, of course, you want us to go to the town ourselves and buy food for everybody." There were more than 5,000 people in the crowd. But he, Jesus, went ahead and directed his disciples, "Sit them down in groups of about 50. They did what he said, and soon had everybody seated. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread and fish to the disciples to hand out to the crowd. After the people had all eaten their fill, 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered up." In you come. Now, I wonder, if I say the word hospitality, what are the first things that pop into your head? I'm guessing the first things that come into your head are to do with food, hotels. Now, I wonder how many of you out there have worked in the hospitality industry, and I'm guessing quite a few. I have been known to hold a couple of jobs in those kind of establishments. My parents love to remind me of the days of wearing a hairnet behind a salad bar. Anyway, my point is that often when we say hospitality, we think of food. And in Christian settings, we think it often means that you have to invite people to your house for food. And to be honest, our current setting and even our passage today might lead us to think that. But it's not. There's so much more to this. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to understand you and hospitality better through this talk. Amen. So let's grapple with this topic of hospitality. And interestingly, I actually do mean grapple, because it's potentially not as clean cut as we think. Is it as simple as giving a cup of water? Yeah. But at the same time, it's not that simple. Have I confused you? Good. When you look at the word hospitality and its meaning in the Bible, the most common feature is welcome. Yes, that welcome sometimes involves food, and yes, it does sometimes involve inviting people into your home. Perhaps not something you can do physically right now. Don't want you to get in trouble for breaking the law. But the key is welcome. And that's why, if we go back to our Bible reading today, it's actually important to look at what else is going on. And that it's not just about the incredible, miraculous miracle. that happens. So Jesus and his mates are just hanging out in a town. They've actually just had a really busy time. The NIV Bible says that they withdrew, which kind of implies that they're having some quiet, chill time together, when all of a sudden these crowds turn up. And when I say crowds, I mean crowds. 5,000 men plus women and children. They've heard stuff about Jesus and they want to see him in the flesh. So they find him. Now, if I were Jesus, I might have battened down the hatches, closed the curtains and pretended I wasn't in. Not Jesus, though. It says Jesus welcomes them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and heals those that needed healing. Now the disciples, I think we might be able to gauge their reaction in the bit we read at the beginning. Basically, send them away. We don't have anything left to give. But what does Jesus do? He takes what little the disciples have in food and energy and look at how he uses them. They see and get to be part of this incredible, miraculous story. Think about it for a moment. Jesus has just told these people about him, probably, and God's love for them, and helped them to understand stuff that they'd never understood before. Imagine if he had sent those people away hungry. Would they have seen the reality of what Jesus had just told them? How would you have felt to be one of those disciples? How would you have felt to be one of those 5,000? Jesus was never going to send those people away hungry. He never sent people away hungry, whether it was for food in the belly that they hungered or for knowing more about him. It just wasn't him. The words that came from his mouth were always reflected in his actions. For example, people weren't too keen on children pestering Jesus in the Bible because Jesus was far too busy and important for them. But Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to little children." Then what does he do? He hangs out with them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can never rest. I mean, Jesus rested. But he was also willing to welcome people to his side, whether in their house or where he was. Whether it was on a roadside or on a hillside. And what was it all about? It's about welcome. But not just any hospitality welcome. This is welcome. Come, meet Jesus and get to know him. Jesus, who is the very demonstration of God's incredible love. Not just for the people of these pages of the Bible, but for you and for me. So, what does it mean for us? I actually love making food, if you didn't know that already. Now, to feed my love of food, I like watching baking and cooking programs. And a couple of days ago, I had a quote that caught my ear when I was watching a cooking programme by a bloke called Fred. Now, I can't pronounce his second name, so I'm not even going to try. He was talking about the restaurant he was eating in, and he said, service is what they do. Hospitality is how they make you feel. And I thought, yes, what a beautiful description of what a Christian should take on. See, if we're a Christian, we should serve, right? I mean, Kai talked about it last week. But the challenge sometimes is how you make other people feel when you do it. Now, it's not about your own gratification. But if you are serving because of Jesus and your love of Jesus, then your service should speak 1,000 words. Okay, let me give you an example. There are some incredibly godly people in the history of our church. And I want to tell you about one, Margaret. This is Margaret. She was one of our vergers pretty much until the day she died, honestly. Sometimes the ledges you found her perched on in church to clean windows was a little bit scary. But this woman cleaned church. Now, we get all kinds of people who would come into church and want to talk. Now, she didn't say, oh, go away, I'm cleaning. She'd stop and either join them in with what she was doing or sit down and have a chat with them and a cup of tea. She did it quietly. Secondly, this is one of my little friends, Jonas. Jonas is an incredible example of hospitality. The other week, when I was at the park with a new little church friend, I met Jonas. I said to Jonas, I was like, hey, Jonas, you should meet our new church friend. This is, and then I told him his name. Jonas looked at him, said, hi, and used his name. And then he ran off. And I thought, oh, gosh, that's a little rude, isn't it? He'd gone off and found some other church friends that happened to be in the park at the same time. Now, he brought them over to meet our new church friend. He introduced him and said, this is our new church friend. You see, there's a problem that there is no getting away from. Very clearly says in the Bible, practice hospitality in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Yeah, okay, I know some of you out there might be going to say, but I don't have that gift. To be honest, I'm not going to take that. Yeah, the Bible says there are some people who are made for it, but when the words practice hospitality are written in a letter that would go around lots of churches for lots of people to read, I don't think this is just directed at the people who were gifted to do it. So, let's practice. My dad, he used to lovingly nag me to practice my musical instruments. The musical instruments I was learning. Now, this wasn't because I was a worldwide concert hall sellout and needed my performances just to be just right. No, I was learning, and to get better, I needed to practice. And yes, sometimes I had epic musical fails. And other times, I was okay. Unfortunately, I don't think I practiced enough. And now my beautiful musical instruments sit in their cases in a cupboard. How sad. Do you understand? If you practice, you'll get better. Oh my goodness, I sound like my dad. What I'm desperately trying to say is that hospitality is not just welcome, it's also the potential of showing people the love of Jesus, whether that's people that already know Jesus or don't. Take a moment to think whilst I go get you some more tea and cake. So, what does hospitality look like today? You might say, well, Hannah, we can't do it. We're not seeing people. We're not going to church. I'm not going to take that either. How do you welcome the delivery man that comes to the door? Do you smile, even if he doesn't smile back? And even if you don't feel like it? When you go for a walk and you see someone come in the other way, do you dive into a bush and hide? Or do you make sure you keep a safe distance from them and find a way of greeting them, maybe with a smile or a wave? You can still see smiles even with a mask on. How do you respond to people in the shops? You see, if we're practicing like Paul tells us to, we shouldn't be waiting for the world to get back to normal. We can be finding safe and law-abiding ways now to practice hospitality. Let's take a moment to think, how can I show hospitality just once this week? I'd love to pray for you before we move into worship. Jesus, thank you for your example. Please help us as we seek to be more like you. Help us not to be scared or feel like we have a to-do list from you to do. Help us to find joy in seeking to be more like you. And especially this week, help us to demonstrate you as we practice hospitality with the help of you and your Spirit. Thank you, God, that we're not doing this alone. We have you. Amen.